Okay, I thought I had adjusted to Melbourne weather. A week ago, I had my aircon on, and last night, I had the heater on. Well and truly, it was on. Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know if I'll ever work it out. Okay, I've had a great week. I have actually missed you guys. I've missed you guys a lot. I wasn't here last week, and I've discovered that I've been caught out. But before I go into that, I need to make sure I get this on the screen. Okay, yeah, sweet. We're good. Alrighty. Beautiful. So I missed you guys last week, and I wasn't here, and I discovered that I've been caught out for something. I thought I could have gotten away with it, if I'm honest. But Julie let me know this week. I bumped into her in here at the church while she was sorting out stuff for the food pantry. And apparently there's a photo of me circulating. This photo here. I thought I could get away in secret being a Collingwood fan, but apparently it's gotten out. Now, when I used to have long hair, I actually did look kind of like this guy, so I can fully see the correlation. I thought it was very funny when I watched the live stream back. Yeah, definitely long hair me. That's what I looked like just there. So it was very good. But I still actually haven't chosen a team yet. I think when I first came down, I think I may have made a joke or something about the Collingwood Crows. But the truth of the matter is I had seen a game years ago that was between the Blues and the Bombers, between Carlton and, is it Essendon Bombers? Yeah, anyway, there you go. And I remember choosing to follow the Blues on that game because apparently you pick a team that you follow per the very first AFL game you go and see, you pick one of those two teams. And I only picked the Blues because all my friends were going for the Bombers and I just wanted to be aggravating. And so I followed the Blues, but since coming here, I've had people try to bribe me. Nick, Scott and Jamie, they took me to a game of Collingwood versus Swans, and I don't know if it worked yet, but I also have had the Da Vinci, they're not actually here, the Devin Cinthes family also trying to convince me to go for the Blues as well, and so I'm remaining on the fence, no one else has tried, so it's between those two teams, but the problem is, I now have a problem, that if I do go for Collingwood, it'll look like it's because they just won and I'll have to follow. But well done, all you Collingwood fans. So good on you guys. Now, I actually need some help. The youth group here at Wantirna is falling apart and for one reason. And they have charged me with this task to come up here and ask you guys a very important question. And so here I am asking it for you guys over here, right? You have to help me save this youth group. Here's the question. It's a show of hands situation. I'm going to ask you guys to be general, and I've got two stages to this question. The first one is, raise your hands if you think pizza is dry or on the dry side of food, and then I'll ask you to raise your hands if it's on the wet side of food. All right, so if you think pizza's on the dry side of food, raise your hand. No way. Okay, what about on the wet side of food? Oh, no. I couldn't believe it. I was sure I'd have more supporters in here. All right. Second stage of the question, because we've been adapting this over the last month. We've had heated debates over this question. Consider a plain piece of Weet-Bix, no milk, to be a 0 or a 1 out of 10 wet. So it's completely dry. And a noodle soup or like a minestrone soup or something to be a 10 out of 10 wet. If you would still put it on the dry side, put your hand up for pizza. All right, wet side? Oh, man. Okay, whatever, guys. You win, all right? You win. I concede. Okay, fine. It's a wet food, all right? I said it here first. All right, then. That's the end of that. But if you want to know the context of that, I encourage you, especially the old generations, to go and talk to the youth and find out what has been going on at our youth life group to know why we're even asking that question in the first place. But very good. Last week's message was great. Before I go into that, I'm going to pray real quick. Let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to come up here and share your word, Lord, to be able to talk about you, to be able to grow closer to you. So, Father, I pray that as we're sitting here this morning, that your Holy Spirit will be acting on our hearts, Lord, but also protecting us here in this space. Father, as you knock on our hearts, Lord, may we open that door to you and may we let you in. So be with us now. Be with me especially as I share. And, Father, may your words be spoken through me and not my own. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I really liked last week's message, and there was a great question Dan asked. He said, what makes being a disciple different to just being a Christian? And it was a really, really good point, and I really, really, really liked his example of the Collingwood supporter. He stood up for you with the scarf on. And it was actually great because you wouldn't even think twice if you were going to the Collingwood game and you saw someone wearing that jersey. You'd think, oh, yeah, they're a Collingwood supporter. Look at them. They even bought the jersey. But if you saw Dan wearing that and you asked him all those same questions he got you guys to interrogate him with last week, it was very revealing that he obviously doesn't know, and neither do I. I couldn't tell you any players. I think I knew one Carlton player way back in the day. I don't even remember. Anyway, it's a very, very good example. I like that one, Dan. Good work. He's my boss. I don't know why I'm... Anyway, yeah, well done anyway. That was very good. It was very good. But there is a key text that we've been looking at. It's Luke 14, 25 to 34. I'm just going to reread it real quick for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke 14. Here it is right here. 25 to 34. I'm going to stop at a certain point in this one, probably just at 27. Here we go. Great crowds were following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own mother, or father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple." And then he says, "And you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me." If you do not carry your own cross and follow me. In the translation that Dan read last week, it says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." It's a pretty interesting thought. It's a pretty interesting thought, really. This idea of, like, you can't even be my disciple if you don't bear your cross. So today, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about bearing your cross. These are the characteristics that Dan defined as differentiating between a Christian and a disciple. There was to be all in. Okay, then. This is amazing. I never even opened up this slide to see all these different animations that are coming down. That's sick. Okay, so Dan spoke about going all in last week, right? Today I'm talking about bearing your cross, and you can obviously see what the other three topics are for the rest of this series. But today, bearing your cross. Dan talked about committing entirely, right, to this cause and learning the whole Torah and following all the books and the teachings. If you haven't seen that sermon, go back and listen to it. It's very interesting. And it was all capped off when Dan talked about following the rabbi and becoming a disciple. And when the rabbi would come to you and say, "Come and follow me," that meant everything. And everyone who was asked that question would drop everything and just follow the rabbi because it was like the highest honor, right? And so I really like this definition that actually the Bible commentary, the Adventist Bible commentary talked about with this verse. It was the idea, bearing your cross is the idea of leaving behind our personal ambitions and worldly interests. So that's pretty cool. So today, I'm going to talk about bearing your cross. The first week I was here, some of you may remember, I actually shared some of my story. I talked about a few things I was interested in, and I also talked about grace in my life. And I sort of shared a little bit about how there was a time in my life where I was going through some struggles. I mentioned I was going down the wrong path, and today I'd like to share with you a little bit more about what that actually looks like. I think I know you guys well enough that I could trust you with this information. Those online, well, I hope I can trust you. This is me in school, right? You might have remembered even this photo. This is me in year 10. I think I was 15 or 16 at the time. That's me on the left, and then my friends Jacinta, Matt, and Ben. And we had a great group of friends, right? It was Jacinta, Matt, Ben, and there were two other boys who weren't there for some reason in this photo, but it was a guy named Jalen, who was a good friend of mine, and a guy named JP. Both awesome lads. And the cool thing about this group is that we were all kind of like-minded in the way that we saw the world. We were all kind of religious to some degree, whether we be Adventist or Baptist or whatever. We were all religious, I think. Well, I can't speak on behalf of Jacinta, actually. I should ask her. Anyway, the rest of us were all religious in some way. In fact, Matt and JP and Jalen were all Adventist. And so some weeks I'd go to what was more a youth-focused church. It was called The Haven, and that's where Matt used to go. And I used to meet up with Matt there. And then other weeks I'd be over at this other church, which used to be called Erina Church, but now it's called Forest Beach Church. If you've ever been there, it's great. It's a bit more of a traditional church, and it was really nice to be there. And often I would see Jalen would go there and also JP. So on the weekends, I'd be able to see my friends from school. And then during school, I'd be able to hang out with them as well. It was really cool. But at this time, I was actually going through some interesting experiences. I sort of mentioned in that first sermon this year about how I was kind of listening to some of the wrong music. And I was doing some of the wrong things. And I was hanging out with some of the wrong people. And I was actually heading down this path of kind of not really good behavior, you might say. And I remember sort of experiencing this time in my life where I was quite lonely. I lived in a beautiful acreage, a long way away from any of my friends. And before I got my P plates, it was what would have been a great freedom and adventure park pretty much for a young, let's say, 8, 9, 10-year-old was what you might call a prison for a 15-year-old who wanted to be at the beach surfing with all of his friends. I absolutely loved it. Now, it's not that my parents were prison wards. It wasn't like that. But it was more the idea that I was just kind of stuck on this beautiful block of land and I could go and do whatever I wanted to do, but you can only ride the hill so many times before you get over pedaling back up. And so I got to the point where I was kind of stuck in my room a lot, and I ended up playing a lot of music at the time. I'm revealing that, actually. I do play music. I don't play music in the church that I preach at, but I do play music. And I played a lot of music at the time. And I found myself in my room kind of alone, and I was just focusing in on these things that I was putting my effort into. And at the time, I was listening to the wrong music. So I was playing music that wasn't very good myself. And then on top of that, I was playing computer games and all sorts of stuff. Now, I'm not condemning these things, but I am talking about them in the way that they impacted me at the time. They definitely can have positive and negative impacts on your life. But I found myself feeling very lonely, and I pushed people out of my life. And I remember feeling almost hurt in the way that I felt like it wasn't my fault that I was lonely. And I remember not knowing how to deal with that pain. And I remember sort of just trying to work out how to deal with this pain. I sort of started taking it out on some of the people at school and those close to me. I sort of started to hurt the people that I loved, just in the way that I would treat them and so on. And eventually got to a point where, I would say that I was probably a little bit out of control. And so, not even a little bit, a lot. And so I shared with you way back in that very first sermon that I was actually a phone call away from the police about 3 or 4 times. But anyway, back into the story, right? At this time, this is what I looked like. This is actually, I couldn't find a photo of Jalen, but this is a photo of JP. This is him and his little brother. And we used to do a lot of fun things. And even though on the side I was doing some bad stuff, this is the kind of thing we'd do. We'd go do tarp surfing, and we'd cruise on a skateboard, and you pull the tarp over top, and it looks like you're inside of a wave, right? So it was very fun. Kind of dangerous, though, if you catch the front of the tarp. You just hit the deck really hard. But that's all right, because it never happened to me, so I'm all good. But this is the kind of fun things we used to do. And we were all doing our own thing. We were all having good times at school and that. But eventually there came a point where, like I said, I started to hang out with a bit of a different crew. And I sort of started to get into the wrong things. And I remember it really changing who I was, And the music I listened to, I don't mean just like because it had drums or something in it. It was the message of the songs I was listening to were really bad. And I remember getting to this point where I was so angry with the world. And I kind of lost track of what my friends were doing. I think Jalen and JP both left. They went to another school, and I kind of lost track of what they did. I hadn't seen them. In fact, I actually haven't seen them in person since they left my school, which was kind of sad. That was JP and Jalen. But all the others I saw through the rest of high school. And I remember sort of getting to this point in my life when I was maybe 16, 17, and having that moment where somebody, I talked about this, so you may remember, somebody had the opportunity to call the cops for me. The cops knew my name, were going to come and pick me up. And they chose not to. And in that moment, I didn't realize what they did for me, but they chose not to. And they gave me the best sermon illustration of my life, both in regards to how it impacted me, but also in regards to how my story can help others today. But in that moment, what they showed me was this, is that God's grace for me is so much bigger than anything I could ever do. And that was really exciting. It was really exciting. I'm not going to keep talking too much about grace, but I really want to talk about that little part in particular. That in that moment, I was shown grace, and I turned from where I was headed, and I started moving to where God was calling me to go. And the whole time, God was knocking on my heart, right? And he was calling me into a new place, into a new story, into a new everything. It was awesome. And each time that I was sort of in those situations where I was almost in juvie, someone for some reason showed me grace. And I honestly think it was God going, hey, I've got plans for this guy. And I think he has plans for all of us. And for some reason, I listened, and I went, you know what? Something has to change. And so I realized God was calling me and that he had a plan for me. And so when Jesus came into my life, I realized one thing in particular to be very true. Paul says it like this. I really like this. He says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So that we could be made right with God through Christ. Not because of anything I ever did, but because of what Christ does, because of what God does through Christ. And so when I truly realized what God had truly done for me through Jesus, well, my whole life actually started to change. I talked about this back in that other sermon where I ended up going to play music, going to church because I wanted to, that kind of thing. My whole life changed. I learned this hard lesson, a very hard lesson, which is where we're at today. the bearing the cross. A lesson that I'm actually still applying today. As in, I don't know if you could ever learn it one and done. I think you've got to apply it for the rest of your life. But this idea of you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. The truth on its own is very tough. This idea is very tough. You cannot be a disciple of mine if you don't bear your cross and follow me. But as you build that relationship with Jesus, it gets easier and easier. And so Paul talks about this task of carrying our cross like this. I really like the way he words it in Philippians. I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. In other words, the idea, remember what I said before about bearing your cross as being this thing of leaving behind our own personal interests and desires and actually pursuing what God has called us into and actually putting aside ourselves to follow this new life he's called us into. I like the way Paul phrases that. That he actually says, all these other things I thought were so important, but now that I know Jesus, it's easy to actually leave that stuff behind because this is so much more important. And he makes it very clear that to carry his cross, he had to leave some things behind, right? So it's very clear to us today. But the things he left behind were completely meaningless to him, right, compared to what Jesus did for him. And so Paul goes on to say this only a few verses later. He says in Philippians 3:12, I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. All that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. And I think about myself back in those days when I was off the rails. And I think about it and go, God had saved me for a purpose. And this is not some predestination thing or anything like that, but it's the idea that he is trying to save each and every one of us for a purpose. That he has actually called each and every single one of us to have a relationship with him and a purpose in him. And I listened, and so I followed. So Paul knows a truth that is true for all of us is that Jesus actually saved him for a purpose. And Jesus saved us as well, to be made new in him. And so Paul wants to be that new man. You might have heard that phrase before. If you haven't, the new man idea is simply to step into a life with Jesus and leave behind your old self. It's like dying to self and being raised anew in Jesus, right? And we can do the same thing. So Jesus talks about this purpose and mission for us, the purpose and mission that Jesus saved us for. And here it is. You ready? It's in Matthew 28. You may have heard of it. It's the Great Commission. It's a very good passage. I've got it on the slide, so I'm not going to read out that. Matthew 28, 18 and 19 say this. I've been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It seems like an easy task, right? Well, maybe not to some. But it's like he says it in one sentence. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've been here recently, I know Dan was celebrating it last week as well. We've seen some baptisms recently. It's a lot of fun. I did my very first one. That was cool. I survived through it, man. That's daunting. It's very daunting. I'll tell you guys, if you ever do it, it's very daunting. Anyway, he calls us to go and make disciples and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the cool thing about that is that this other stuff, the go, the baptizing, all that sort of thing, and the part that happens in the next verse as well, in Matthew 28, 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, I kind of talked about in the passive sense, like as if they're going to happen naturally. And then he actually makes this one point there about the make disciples as a thing that you cannot avoid. It is a command for you to go and make disciples. So to tag on to what Dan was talking about last week, this idea is that it's one thing to be a Christian, but it's another thing to be a disciple. And essentially to be a disciple-making disciple, a disciple who goes on to become a rabbi themselves in essence and teach others as well. And so like I just sort of showed you in that next verse, he talks about this idea of this command, but he talks about this idea of this actual promise that he gives us. He makes a promise to give us peace. It's really cool. And if you're wondering how to make disciples, or maybe you're anxious about doing this, then Jesus makes this promise to us. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He makes that promise to us. Something that I know about God is that he's faithful. And if he says he'll do something, he does it. And it may not happen in the way you want it to, or it may not happen at the time you want it to, but I do know one thing, is that he does it eventually. He does it in his timing, which is usually a whole lot better than mine. And I really like this one, right? Because there's a promise, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And in fact, he even says, be sure of this. So don't even doubt this for a second. And he says, go out and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And he makes it as simple as that. Go and teach them to obey these things. And part of that is this relationship with God, right? And so he gives us, as I've talked about this on Father's Day, he gives us the Holy Spirit to work in there with us. And I talked about it being a paraclete or a parakletos. It's actually interesting. I was reading more about that since that sermon. And it actually was actually a military term that you would go out with your parakletos or your paraclete or whatever, and you would stand back to back and you could help defend each other back to back. It was, come find me after. It was really interesting. Maybe that is why I'm okay to swim on my with somebody else in the water, because at least that way I can stand back to back and see the shark coming. You may remember that sermon talking about phobias. Anyway, it's pretty cool, right? The Holy Spirit, he gives it to us. And Jesus guides us as we make disciples. Jesus is awesome in the way that he looks after us, right? As we can see from this verse. But this command is a double-edged sword, right? Because this is what Jesus also says. In Matthew 10, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. It's like, whoa. It's the same idea of that other of the other verse, right? If you do not take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will find it. It's an interesting verse to really tackle, isn't it? Because to a degree, especially these days, a lot of more modern Christianity is telling you that salvation through faith alone, which is so true. Okay, disclaimer, I'm not discrediting that at all. But what they then do is they throw out the baby with the bathwater and they say, well, in that case, I don't have to do anything, right? But here God's actually saying, no, you are saved through faith in me. And as response of your faith in me, you now leave behind the old you and you step into a new life with me, bearing your cross. Amen, exactly. That is actually what he's saying to you in that moment. And so, yes, salvation through faith alone. And as a response to that faith, I now go and I live out a discipleship life. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I really like it, even though it hurts to read sometimes. But that last point in particular is really interesting. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will find it. So it's not really, I'm not reading this out to make you feel scared or guilty or anything like that. But more for the reason that, well, yeah, it's not to make you feel scared or guilty because Jesus came to set you free from shame or anything like that, and he wants to comfort you and protect you. But it's a matter of that you can't actually ignore what it takes to be a disciple. You can't ignore it and sit there and go, oh, salvation through faith alone. I'm not going to do anything now because that's all it comes down to. It's the idea that he's actually saying you have now got an obligation to actually go out and share with other people. And we may not like that because it's very comfortable not sharing with other people. It's very easy to not share with other people. But it's important to know that the way we live our life can have a huge effect on our future. The way we live our life can have a huge effect on our future. So when I was that young teenager, doing everything that I wanted to do and not thinking about the consequences, or very real consequences, I'll add, I thought I was pursuing the good things in life, right? I thought I was doing what was best for me, and I thought that I was setting myself up for a good life. In hindsight, I was so far from it, but I thought I was setting myself up for a good life. And I didn't realize that I was actually spiraling out of control quickly too. That I was heading down the wrong path and I was heading away from God's purpose for my life. And Paul understood the purpose God had called him into. And Paul understood that there was a bigger picture that he was aiming for, and that the here and now is as important as the future eternity with Jesus. So he says this, to me, living is for Christ and dying is even better. Some translations say to live is Christ and to die is gain. But for me, living is for Christ and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better. I like this kind of point that he's making there. Where he's saying, I'm looking forward to the day when I can spend eternity with God forever, having the best time, well, not the best time on earth because it's heaven, but the best time in heaven, I guess. But he's also saying, but in the here and now, I also have the opportunity to go out and share with other people. And he sees joy in that to the point where he can't choose between literal heaven and staying here to tell others about Jesus. That's the kind of commitment to being a disciple that I want to have, where it's literally like so exciting and so purposeful to you that you actually would be like, I'll wait for heaven so I can continue doing this. That's pretty awesome, right? I get inspired when I read that. And so I realized that when I left behind my old life, I found the true life that comes in Jesus, right? And so like Paul, my life finally actually had meaning, had true meaning and purpose. And I could carry my cross with a smile on my face, right? I could carry my cross with a smile on my face like I imagined Paul to do. And not because it's easy. Not because it's easy. If you've ever read Paul's life, I'm not going to spoil any future sermons, but if you've ever read about Paul, you know that his life was not easy. But because when you see the bigger picture, it becomes easy when you realize what you're actually involved in. And I grew to love serving Jesus. But when all this is said and done, and I die one day. I know that it's only the beginning of an eternity with God. And so one of my favorite passages about carrying our cross is in 2 Corinthians 5. What the heck? It's only 12. We are so quick today, guys. This is awesome. I might just keep talking for another half. No, I'm joking. All right, let's read this here together. If you have your Bibles there, pull them out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 9 through to 21. Right before this, Paul has just been talking to the church of Corinth about gaining new bodies one day. And he goes on to say this. So our aim is to please him always, whether we are here in this body or away from this body. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in our bodies. We are God's ambassadors. It is because we know this solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we trying to pat ourselves on the back again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart for God. I'm going to pause there for a sec, because that's actually a really interesting point. To those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart for God. This is, in my opinion, the essence of bearing your cross. This is the essence of bearing your cross. I do talk about the doing side of things, right? But this is what it comes down to. Paul is super clear about it, that the sincere heart for God is what matters, right? So he draws us back to that relationship with God. And the works or the spectacular ministry is something that is actually an outcome of that relationship. So these other people who are caught up in what they're doing and look at all these great things I'm doing, they're missing the point. That's actually about them and Jesus. It's not about what they did, although that's the effect of that relationship. All right, moving on. If it seems that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Whatever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live, and he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone, a new life has begun. This is something we've been studying with Matt, the young lad that we baptized the other weekend. That's what we discovered with him, this idea of leaving behind the old life and stepping into the new one. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. God shows us what this task looks like, right? Through Jesus. And he calls us to share Jesus with other people to bring people to God. This is a pretty cool little, very, in my opinion, very clear idea of what it means to bear your cross and be a disciple. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. That's another cool verse there. So I'm pausing a couple of times because these verses, you don't want to miss them, right? Paul knows that he is a partner of God. He knows he's a partner of God, and God uses us as the ambassadors for him, right? It's actually calling us to be a part of this process. Sure, he could just put a big screen up in the sky that everyone could see and he could broadcast to the whole world. Sure, but he chooses to use each and every one of us to be these ambassadors for God, to go out and share this message with other people. And so he calls us to go and share with humanity and to proclaim this message. Ready? This is the message he calls us to proclaim. We urge you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. In other words, to come back to God, to be made new again in God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That is the gospel. That's the gospel, as simply put, I think. I think that's the full gospel in one verse. I love it. And that is what we're called to actually share. So, you know, when I first started this, I said that I would tell you more of my story, and I only kind of added a little bit to it. But sometimes when we hear stories about people turning to Jesus, we can actually forget what it was like for ourselves. You may actually look back on the days and when you first sort of came into the story with Jesus, and maybe when you sort of think about your first love with Jesus, and you sort of wonder, yeah, I kind of forget what that was like. Or maybe you don't even think that because it's not something on the forefront of your mind. Or maybe you might even kind of downplay someone else's story. You may hear someone's story and go, oh yeah, I heard this one before. And let me guess, he changed your life. And then, wow, now you're all better. It's pretty kind of almost sad to think that it has become just a mundane thing almost to hear that phrase of like, and Jesus came into my life and he changed my life. And now I'm on the path for good, right? But I think sometimes it's actually, yeah, I actually want to sort of make it clear how Jesus worked in my life, how he called me into a new life with him, how he called me to carry my cross, and how he called me into a new purpose and mission. I think it would be good to fill in more of the picture by actually sharing somebody else's story, to remind you guys, I guess, a contrasting example of why this idea of Jesus coming into my life is very much real. And it's very much not the cliche, but it is actually something that doesn't always happen for everyone. So around this time last year, you remember I mentioned all my friends? I had Jacinta, Matt, Ben, Jalen, and JP. Around this time last year, I think it was August 15, Matt messaged me out of the blue. You may have remembered Matt from that photo. Matt messaged me out of the blue, and he sent me this screenshot of something that was posted on a New South Wales police Facebook page. It said this: appeal for information, wanted person. Tugra Lakes detectives, where I used to live, are seeking information to locate who was wanted on arrest warrants, whatever those numbers say, issued by Wyong Local Court on the 15th of August 2022, just last year, for aggravated break, enter, and steal and community order-related offences. Some of you actually may have just made the connection of who Tugra is. But that was JP, who I went to school with. That was JP, and at the time I saw this post, he was on the run from the police. He was actually caught not long after that. He was caught about a month later, and he's in jail now, I guess. But I keep meaning to go visit him. I need to visit him when I go up next. But that was JP, on the run from the police. And when I look at JP, and I think to myself, man, what happened for that guy? I didn't see him when he left my school. But at the time when he left, we were both in the same boat. Both of us went to the Adventist school. Both of us went to not even a liberal, but a more traditional, conservative sort of Adventist church. Both of us would sit there together in the church and hang out. We'd be at the Adventist school hanging out. We both were from Adventist families. And in fact, at the time, I actually almost thought of him as having it better off. I almost actually thought of him as being in a position to have more potential than me. I remember thinking that JP would actually end up being, yeah, that if anyone was to come back, it would be him, right? And we were in the exact same place. Two guys, it's like one of those Bupa ads or whatever, where there's two people and one person, yeah. It was like that, JP and me, these two guys, same church, same school, same religion, same denomination, everything. Yet somehow along the line, when God called me, I answered. And when God called him, he didn't. And God's plan for me led me this way, and God's plan for JP led him this way. This is what he looks like now. That's JP now. And God was calling both of us, but I actually chose to follow him. God wants to make us right with him through Jesus. But we need to actually accept that. He knocks on our hearts, and it's up to us to open the door. And if I hadn't let God lead me and hadn't left behind my own desires, I think I would be right there with JP. I don't even think there's a doubt in my mind. We'd still be doing all the same stuff. But here I'm telling you the good news right now. I'm standing here on this stage right now telling you the good news. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That God is calling us into a mission as disciples. The mission of reconciliation that I read about just before, to go and make disciples. It's actually a command. And God is calling each of us into a new purpose, into a new life. It's up to you to choose that path, right? It's up to you to actually choose and step into that. And he puts the passions on your heart. He puts passions on your heart to go and be used for his glory, to go and lead others to him. So God is calling us to take up our cross and leave behind our selfish desires. You have the option in front of you each and every single day. You may not be in prison like my mate JP. You may not have been like me where I was on the edge of a phone call before going into jail myself. But you have the decision every single day to go and now share that as well. I think we can forget that we had this big experience with God, but it's actually in the every single day. The daily baptism of the Holy Spirit, you may have heard of that before, is actually the thing that really matters to us today. That God is calling us back into his heart. I know David says it like this. He says, my heart hears you say, come and speak with me. My heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Psalm 27, verse 8, I think it is. I love that, right? Because it's God calling us into his heart. He wants to have that connection with us. And God actually has a plan for us and a plan for you that's bigger and better than anything we have in store for ourselves. He's calling us away. I like that. He's calling us away from where we currently are. I'm going to invite up the band to help us lead worship in this last song. But he's calling us into a purpose and a life that is bigger than ourselves, something that is absolutely amazing. I never once thought I would be a pastor. I was actually sharing, I think it was Alan before the service today, about how as a kid growing up in a pastor's family, I wasn't at all signed into the Christian experience at all. And in fact, I never thought I'd be a Christian, let alone a pastor. Holy heck, that was the last thing I thought I'd ever be, would be a pastor growing up as a PK. But here I am before you. And it's not because of anything great that I've done, but it's solely because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. So, yeah, amen indeed. So I encourage you now as we sing this to recognize that God's actually calling you into a plan. And maybe you've been a part of this for your whole life. Maybe you grew up in it and you've never questioned it once. But there is a daily call to be a disciple for Jesus. Every single day, he's calling us. And so you can actually step into that yourself. So worship with us.